The university tower chimes, and the chimes of the buoy apparently ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and before I introduce you to our panel for today, I'd like to very much thank the Bayview Yacht Club, where we are broadcasting live, at least to us, today. So let me go around the table. To my right, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Great to be here, Matt.
Great to have you back from the grading grave
we were digging about a week ago, right? I've dug myself out as any self-respecting zombie would.
That's right. And, of course, the zombie reference to a little cocktail sketch that you did, Professor Dave Chow, of the College 4 Creative Studies.
That was done eons ago, wasn't it, Beth? It was at least...
Oh, at least a year ago.
At least in my lifetime. So, anyway...
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are writing in asking about the College 5 Creative Studies. You'll have to tell us about that later.
They'll be next year, I guess. I don't know. It's the graduate program.
Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies is with us as well.
And very happy to be here. I think we should do it here every week.
I think so, too. I have to agree. Let's just leave the equipment and... This table is even wonderful, as Professor Jim Tubbs was pointing out before we got started from Religious Studies.
Yes, indeed. Good to see you, Matt.
Yeah, it's a very distinctive table. It's like it's made out of a rowboat or something.
It's very weather-beaten.
Yeah, very weather-beaten. Must have left it outside.
Nautical planks.
Yeah, like our skin.
Mm-hmm. I think before a few other of you got here, Chuck Hokett and I from IT and AV Services were talking about how distinctive this view of the Detroit River is.
Yes, we did.
We know we're going to lose you, although not on the show. We'll use you a little bit early because you're going to the Tigers game.
Yeah, go Tigers.
You're going tonight?
Going to take the staff, the AD, and the computer labs to the game tonight. So
bring them some good luck.
I'll be one wearing the Tiger hat, so look for me.
Excellent.
Pick me right up.
Wearing blue and orange.
All right, great.
Exactly.
Sit next to Paws.
Diane Manica, you were attacked by Professor Chuck Hokett a little earlier when we were taking photos.
We're supposed to say that, Matt.
The mist was coming over the river, so we're not going to talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
What happens when the mist stays in the mist?
That's right.
I'm glad to be here.
Chuck, your reputation. Oh, your reputation,
take
Chuck.
That up.
It wasn't a real attack. It was a fake attack.
It was a fake attack, but yeah, oh, what's fun?
Professor Dan Maggio, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Greetings.
Excellent. Greetings to you, too.
What's going on?
Like the bad Tonight Show guest.
So it's like Andy Kaufman all over
start.
Again.
We were asked to keep it short, so I was just keeping it short.
Wearing the feather underwear again.
Unbelievable. And of course, last but most certainly not least, it's interim dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, Roy Finkenbein.
Good to be here. I'm certainly feeling nautical today.
Excellent. We're glad you do, because let me tell you, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, especially our listeners who heeded our asking for maritime questions, which we are going to tackle in just a moment. If you stump the panel, of course, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes, too. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. You can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. And those wonderful maritime sounds we heard to kick off our show are a great segue into our request for nautical and maritime-based questions. So here's 15 questions to keep the ATP panelists hopefully entertained. I didn't think about it ever that we do this show to be entertained by the questions, but that's what Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York wants to do. A score of 80% shall be considered seaworthy, as always with me, profs. These are entertainment-based questions, so TV and movies.
The lesser-known stars.
Yeah.
These are good.
I hope you'll use them for your special show, and I look forward to hearing them aired sometime soon. Keep up the great work. Well, we should say the same to you, Julie. Professors, here we go. Put on your nautical caps. Because our first question is...
Aye, matey.
Swashbuckling about.
This is, these are some pretty great questions. Dooley did a really good job. What famous television boat currently resides at Schooner Cove Marina in Nanoose Bay, British Columbia?
The SS Minnow?
It's Minnow. The SS Minnow from Gilligan's
British
Island.
British Columbia, wow.
Still there. Still there. Have you ever visited, Dan?
No, I haven't.
It's very long.
Nanoose Bay.
But I have been mistaken for Gilligan several times.
Oh, no comment. No comment.
No comment. Good.
Don't worry, little buddy.
This is a great piece of trivia because I tell you, it may be the reason I went into science, or at least indirectly, the movie Disney's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the frigate from Disney's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? So not the submarine.
It's Nero, not the submarine?
Not the submarine.
The submarine's the Nautilus.
The Nautilus, yeah, the Nautilus. Yes. Yes. But the frigate that I believe is chasing Captain Nemo?
I was only thinking about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so. Mm-hmm.
I see. The name of a very, very famous, possibly the most famous U.S. president?
Lincoln. Washington.
The Abraham Lincoln was the name of the frigate.
Oh, no.
Yes, absolutely. What's the name of the boat in Errol Flynn's The Seahawk? Very unlucky bird when it comes to maritime, if I remember
correctly.
It's the albatross. Yes, it's the albatross.
Was it the swashbuckler?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. A little clapping there. Great.
We have our
fan.
Audience. Our fan, right. Singular, is here.
Our fan. It's one fan.
Yes, us and Jazz Radio, one fan. What did Forrest Gump name his shrimp boat?
The Jenny.
It was the Jenny,
Jenny,
yeah.
Jenny.
As he pronounced it, the Jenny. Yes, absolutely. What was the name of the pink submarine in Operation Petticoat? I'm afraid I haven't seen
Curtis,
it, so.
Reruns when I was a kid.
Professor Hokett's activity later tonight has a little piece of the name.
Tiger.
What kind of a tiger?
Tiger.
Tiger baby.
Tiger.
Not tiger.
White tiger.
A little maritime modifier, and you're all set. It was the sea tiger.
Okay.
Didn't you see that, Jason?
Tiger shark would have been a good one.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. What's the name of the boat that brought King Kong to New York City in the original 1933 movie entitled King Kong?
Oh boy.
No ideas. Wow,
no
you guys
ideas.
Are... anybody know what the mascot is for the Bishop Foley High School?
Oh, for the love of...
Local high school.
I don't remember. No, I don't.
Oh, wow,
no,
we got all zeros here, guys. Good. It was the Venture, the SS Venture. Venture. Hmm. Bishop Foley are the Ventures, yes.
Really? Isn't that like a singing safari group or something like that?
Yeah,
yeah,
the Ventures.
Yeah.
A song called Wipeout that was...
Everything sounded like a surfer.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What's the name of Willy Wonka's boat from the Wonka films?
No, he had
Gene
a boat. Wilder.
No, no, he
I know.
Oh, it was in the little Candy River.
Yeah, the Candy River.
All right.
Yes.
I remember Augustus Gloop going up the chocolate pipe.
Very famous ship sinking, not the Titanic.
Evan Fitzgerald.
It was the Wonkatania. I'll give it to you.
Wonkatania.
Absolutely. Glastron Industries. That sounds made up. First introduced this boat for a campy 1966 television series. What was the name of the boat?
1966.
I have friends who have Glastrons.
A campy 1966 TV series. Therefore, the name of his boat would be...
Batmobile?
The Batboat.
The Batboat. Bat,
yes. Okay. It was the Batboat. Okay.
Oh, they made Batman's boat?
Yes.
A.K.A. the Batboat.
Was that out of glass?
No, it was made out of plastic, I think. Glastron.
Yeah. It's made of guano.
What were the two singers, the great piece of trivia, of the Love Boat theme?
One was Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick only in the ninth and final season of the TV show did Dionne Warwick sing it. But who sang it for the original eighth season? It was a guy.
Bill
Murray?
It was not Bill Murray, although absolutely. The same letter is the first and last name, J.
Jack Jones.
Dean Finkenbein with the save. There we go. Jack Jones. Who played Captain Harrison in the Poseidon Adventure? One of his only serious roles.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yes. Wasn't very stupid, famous Canadian. I'm embarrassed. I'll just come out and say it. The question is, how did Brody kill the shark? in the Steven Spielberg movie Jaws. I've never seen Jaws.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry.
You've never seen Jaws?
The
shark,
I will explain.
A big electrical wire?
The shark.
Into an electrical
cable. The shark
cable.
Swallows a canister of compressed air like you would use for
scuba diving. They pulled up the electrical cable and held it up.
No, that's in Jaws 2.
He had a thing in his mouth.
He shot the
so the shark had swallowed the canister.
Oh, that's right, the tank.
He exploded it.
Compressed air tank.
There you go.
That's what he did.
It says Chief, Roy Scheider. Roy Scheider. There you go.
That was two, right?
No, that was the one.
One with the electric cable?
No, two was the electric cable.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Now, what was three?
But who's on first?
Oh, my.
Let's clear
college
let's
four creative studies.
What's on second?
What's the name of Kevin Costner's character in the most, I actually did see it, embarrassed to say, Waterworld movie? Oh, one of the worst movies ever made.
He didn't have a name, did he?
Yeah, he did. They called him something. You're right. He didn't have a name,
buddy.
But they called him
Aquaman.
Something.
Yeah.
Does he like kind of redefine an actor who has problem picking good scripts?
Even when written by himself, apparently.
He wrote that?
He produced it. Let's think Pacific Northwest baseball team.
Mariner?
He was the Mariner is what they called him. Yes, the Mariner.
It was a good way to narrow that down.
Sorry.
I think there's only one.
Very good.
And even I know
the
it.
Angels?
Dodgers?
Who plays the character Marco Ramius in the Hunt for Red October
Sean
movie?
Sean Connery.
Yes. The Scotsman playing the...
Brilliant job.
The Russian, yes. What film was the first that broke the $1 billion mark at the box office?
Jaws.
I think Maritime.
Titanic?
Titanic.
It was Titanic, yes. James
and then
Cameron.
Avatar broke it.
That's right.
Way
broke
to go,
that
Cameron.
Record. That's right. Who was the captain of the Sun Princess in the even more ridiculous The Love Boat, The Next Wave? Oh, my.
Wow.
I had no idea who played the captain.
Wasn't Captain Stubing?
Was it?
Gavin McLeod?
No, it was not. A very famous sort of 70s, 80s era actor, but the name of the character he played was James Kennedy III. I wish I could give you more information. I'm not that versed. It was Robert Urich.
Okay. Dan Tana?
Wow.
I never heard of the show.
Thanks a lot. Well, there's probably a good
thing. There's a flop.
That show capsized in season one.
If you're lucky.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded at an end-of-season gathering of ATV panelists at Detroit's Bayview Yacht Club. You may send questions to the professors at atp@udmercy.edu.
Okay, we've got some more questions here. This is great. These are from Robert DeValle, the arts critic and reporter for Real Detroit Weekly. I understand your upcoming show deals with matters maritime. Here are some salty and freshwater questions. Complete this famous message that Oliver Hazard Perry sent after the Battle of Lake Erie. We have met the enemy and they are ours. What?
They are ours.
Ours.
Truly. Ours truly.
Ours. They're ours to overcome.
He's actually listing things. Two of two things and one of two things.
One if by land, two if by sea?
Definitely by
and
sea.
And I on the opposite shore will be.
Yeah, I'll take a pound of butter and a loaf of bread.
Actually, the quote is, we have met the enemy and they are ours. Two ships, two brigs, one schooner, one sloop.
Oh, okay.
No kidding.
Met the enemy and they are ours.
That never makes it into the history
Was it Oliver the sloop Perry. John B.?
It could have been. John A. It was the prototype.
Do we have the Admiral Farragut profanity line in here?
No, we don't. Well, not yet, but don't give anything away. A great trivia question, by the way. Who was the captain of the Mayflower? We have history professors at the table.
Yeah.
And it's right under the line for extra credit. Who played him in the movie The Plymouth Adventure?
Was it like a John Adams, a John Smith?
It was a very general sort of name. Yep.
It wasn't Brad.
First name same as, let's see, similar to our dean of the College of Health Professions.
Hey, how are you?
Christopher,
and then...
Not Columbus.
Last name of a very famous adventuring archaeology professor who pretty much everybody loves.
Jones.
Christopher Jones. So who played him in the movie The Plymouth Adventure?
I don't know.
Jones? That'd be funny.
No idea.
No.
Christopher Walken?
Very.
That'd be good.
You know,
nothing says
Tyrone Power.
Right?
It was Spencer Tracy, actually.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
Robert Plymouth Adventure. This one's definitely going to keep us busy. What's the chief difference between a catch and a yawl? I think that a lot of the people around
one
the
letter
right now
number
can
of masts.
This question. No, but that's a great idea, Jim. That is a great idea. It's the placement of the mast. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, I was just saying to myself this morning.
Time for audience participation.
A catch has the mizzen forward of the rudder post, where the mizzen on a yawl is aft of the rudder. Of course. You know.
Sure.
We're at a sailing club, and we're terribly embarrassed, basically.
Thank you, audience. That's right.
Since 1902, what has been regarded as the principal handbook for all U.S. Navy personnel?
Jane's Fighting Ships.
No, that's not what it says.
No.
I think it's cut off, actually, at the end.
Did you say that seriously, or was it? Oh, you
no,
were? Oh.
No.
Oh.
It's just the way you said it.
What's the principal handbook for U.S. Navy personnel?
I don't know.
It's got a color in it. Does that help?
The blue book?
It's called the Blue Jacket, is what it has here. So, very interesting. Thanks, Robert. I'm sorry?
I mean, who puts it out?
The U.S. Government Printing Office, probably.
That's right.
Office of Naval Research.
I don't know.
You know? Absolutely. Professors, you know, Mark Neymark, who lives in Paris?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
He tells us, did you know that Detroit comes from the French word détroit, which means
the
straight.
The straight fish.
That's right.
Detroit, yes.
I will give you, Mark is going to give us two bodies of water, and you must name the strait that connects them.
Oh.
And there's quite a number of these questions, so we'll do the best that we can here.
Okay.
He's saying 10 out of 15 give me the win, and there's two bonus questions, so no excuses for failing. I'm going to add that to my syllabus next
That's
year.
That's right.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, plenty of excuses.
The North Sea and the English Channel. Hint, it divides England from France.
Strait of...
the English Channel.
English Channel. Yeah.
Same as the cliffs.
Dover.
The Strait of Dover. It's the North Sea and the English Channel that we're connecting.
Okay.
Lake Superior, Lake Huron. Divides the Upper Peninsula of Michigan from Ontario.
The Sioux Locks?
No. Nope. I mean, it's around there, but...
Strait of Sioux?
Nope.
Mackinac Strait.
Mm-hmm. No. Think about the name of the city where the Sioux is.
The Sioux is in Sault Ste. Marie.
St. Mary's River. Yep, exactly.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
St.
Mary's.
The Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. South America from
Panama
Tierra
Canal.
Del Fuego.
Oh.
Strait of...
Magellan.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Lakes Erie in Ontario divides New York from Ontario. Don't think too hard.
Niagara River? Canal.
No.
St. Lawrence Seaway?
Well, in general, yes, but that also includes...
The St.
Lawrence River.
Straight.
No, Erie, Ontario would be the Niagara.
The Erie Canal.
Niagara is what it is.
You said that like 12 times.
Oh. Yes. You didn't say
that.
Like, the Strait of Niagara River. That's fine.
Okay.
The Pacific and Arctic Oceans dividing Alaska from Russia.
Bering Strait.
Bering, yes.
Oh, there's no Sarah Palin answer in there?
I know. What can
you see them from my house?
I can see
Russia backyard.
Baby Yacht Club.
How about Lakes Huron in Michigan divides the upper and lower peninsula of Michigan?
Strait of Mackinac.
Mackinac. Every good Michigander knows that Huron and Michigan are actually the same lake.
That would explain why I didn't know that.
Yeah, me too.
Huron and Lake Michigan are the same lake.
They're actually, I believe, estuary science or limnology considers them
connected.
The same lake.
They just get narrow at the strait.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they're connected. Never mind.
So it's the
Michihuron on Wikipedia, you will be amazed.
Well, then, of course it's true, because it's on Wikipedia.
No, it's got to be.
Of course.
Found
That's
on
where
the
I
internet.
Send all my students.
How about the Mediterranean and the Black Seas that divides Asia Minor from Europe?
The Bosporus,
also known as?
The
This is the way I learned it. The Dardanelles. Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Jim's got all the Christmas songs and all of the straits. Ready.
We're getting him a sailor's, a captain's hat.
He's been on a recruiting plan.
Unbelievable.
Not really.
So what separates upper and lower New York Bay? It divides Long Island from Staten Island. This one
Long
I wouldn't
Island
have been able
Channel.
To get.
Which divides Long Island from Staten Island?
It's not what it says here.
Hair height?
It says it's known by a more generalized name that starts with the name Verrazano attached to it.
Oh, the Verrazano
Narrows.
Yes, there's
a Verrazano Narrows Bridge. Mm-hmm.
How about the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea dividing Spain from Morocco?
Straight of Gibraltar.
The Gibraltar, the rock. Upper New York Bay and Long Island Sound, dividing East Manhattan, or I blew it, Manhattan from Long Island. It's the East River.
We hit that one, right?
Technically, Norfolk has
it's
more
a freebie.
Gross tonnage.
Thanks. Man.
How about the Ionian Sea from the Tyrrhenian Sea, dividing Sicily from mainland Italy?
Strait of Messina.
Messina. Look at this man.
He's geography man.
Yeah, look at him go.
Indian and Pacific Oceans divides Malaya from Sumatra.
Ooh.
Oh, suddenly.
Oh.
Belize? Straits of Belize?
It's Indonesia? Straits of Indonesia?
No, but that's what my guy... It says Malacca is actually the name there. Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden divides Yemen from Eritrea and Djibouti.
This isn't... Hormuz, right?
Yeah, Gulf of Aden?
Djibouti is a real place.
Yes. Djibouti is the
it's
name.
It's not just a bad joke.
Djibouti.
It's not like that bad planet joke.
There's a funny joke about Djibouti. Yeah. Which I will. Remember we talked about Jackie Rogers?
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah, that's
Jackie
right.
Rogers Jr.
Yeah, Jackie
and,
Rogers
and the wheel
Jr.
of the wheel of whatever the mm-hmm. spin for
the $100,000 spin for the that's what it was called, the Jackie Rogers Jr. $100,000 spin for the
one, they were doing questions back and forth and Sammy Davis they were, Billy Crystal was playing Sammy Davis Jr.
Right,
and
right.
There was some other character I never knew who he was, but he says he's from Djibouti and I'm like, so now anyway,
there you go.
Okay, separates what from Djibouti?
The Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden.
Under Yemen?
Oh. So it basically divides the countries of Yemen and Eritrea and Djibouti. It's the Bab al-Mandeb.
Oh.
Sorry.
Not a clue on that one.
How about the Gulf of Oman and the Persian Gulf?
Strait of Hormuz.
Hormuz. Finally. Yes, everybody knows that.
The only
that.
One I knew. I was waiting to say that.
And I was waiting to beat you. Yeah.
So here are bonus questions.
You guys ready?
Bonus questions. What is the name of the body of water that separates Lake Huron and St. Clair? Divides Michigan from Ontario.
The Detroit River?
Nope. Not Huron from St. Clair.
St. Clair River.
The St. Clair River, yeah. The shallowest river in the world. Yeah, so then super bonus is what divides Lake St. Clair from Lake Erie, and I think we all know what that is.
Detroit River. Yeah,
just
river.
Look to your left or your right, Detroit. Or in front of
look
you.
Look at the mist.
We'll
we can't see
the Detroit River. Thanks, Mark Neymark.
It's out there.
You are awesome. All right, we've got some questions written by a colleague of ours, who is our executive producer.
That means they're really hard.
There goes job security. No one's getting tenure here.
As if someone is like David Blaine here, it says, professors, if you look out the window, just a few feet away from you is the Detroit River.
Oh, really?
This is true. This is true.
Beth,
let's see how much you know about the Detroit River.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
man.
Right.
How many bodies lie?
Where's Kathy when we need her?
We don't know where all the dead bodies are.
Until only about 13,000 years ago, the river was a part of which lake?
Lake Erie.
Lake Erie, yeah, absolutely. I think there's most of the Horn of Ontario was underwater. What two lakes are connected by the Detroit River?
Lake St. Clair and Lake Erie.
And Lake Erie, there we go. Ooh, great one. How long is the Detroit River?
I would say 23 miles.
It's a little higher than that, actually.
I'd say 27.
Mm-hmm. You're more in the wheelhouse, Jim. It says 32. There's a comment. Wikipedia says 28, but what do they know?
I gotta agree. It's only Wikipedia.
I gotta agree with that. Between what two points is the length of the Detroit River measured? This is a great question.
Well, where it meets
the lighthouse
St. Clair.
Right down here. What's it
called? I have the Windmill Point Light at Lake St. Clair.
Yep.
To its mouth at Lake Erie is what it says. I guess I've never seen Windmill Point Light.
Okay.
But every, red-blooded Michigander knows there are more lighthouses in Michigan than any state in the Union. What is the average depth of the Detroit River? Another great question.
Not very deep, just outside the dock where the cinder blocks are waiting.
I would say
30 feet.
750 feet.
Yeah. I'll give you that its deepest is 50.
Yeah, it can't
50
be.
50 feet?
Yeah.
50
no,
feet.
It's not,
yes,
not
it is. It is a very
average 32.
Really?
36, Jim.
Okay.
36.
Yep. How much is that in
or the St. Clair River and the Detroit River move very quickly, which is the hallmark of a very shallow...
That's why it never freezes over. Hardly,
that's right. So. It's always moving. The shipping channel is routinely dredged to what very specific depth? I'm thinking, what is it, the Army Corps of Engineers probably has...
50 feet?
Not 50 feet. Oh.
75.
25?
No, it's 27.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
27 feet is all you need to get a big old freighter through. We just saw one a little while ago. How many islands, technically speaking, are in the Detroit River? Not American islands, just islands in general.
One.
Belle Isle. Zug.
There's one down. There are 21 islands in the Detroit River. And this man just goes...
Well, you guys are listening on this guess.
Unbelievable.
Eventually I'll
unbelievable. The return of what insect is a sign of improved water quality in the river? Mayflies. Yes. Listen for the crunch.
The sliding of the cars.
You know? How many species of waterfowl can be found in the Detroit River?
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah, there are a lot. I mean, there are a lot compared to the number in my backyard, which is zero, you know.
20.
18.
It's higher than 20.
30.
26.
It's 29. Yes, 29 kinds of waterfowl.
I'm taking credit.
Excellent. Yours. Well, let's upgrade here. How many species of fish do you think are found in the Detroit River? Because it's way more than 30.
Are we including
30.
The mutant
137.
Ones?
All the mutant
are in the
ones
Springfield
as well.
River?
137.
137. It's less than that. It's about half that.
74.
I mean, that's not half.
That's
68.
65. Sorry, I was off with my.
I was impressed that you've done the math.
Let me go into a commercial.
What's your discipline?
I meant to go four down.
Dan, if that was me, it would have been excusable, okay?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to say right now. Unbelievable. Another great, great piece of trivia. Very well done questions, Vivian. Which president signed the Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge Act, making the river the first international wildlife refuge?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Incorrect.
No.
It was more recently, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was
Nixon?
Very
Clinton?
Recent.
Clinton?
Bush?
It was George Bush in 2001. Oh, really? The first international wildlife refuge. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
But in the whole river?
Mm-hmm.
I was
thinking the same well, thing. It's, you know, the fact that we share the refuge, I think, is the idea. professors, please look out the window and a little to your west. You can see Belle Isle.
Yeah.
How large in acres is Belle Isle? The gem of Detroit.
Students just did documentaries on this island. I should know.
Oh, no.
805.
So why don't you?
It's quite a bit larger than 105.
I said 805.
I'm sorry. It's only a little bit larger than 805. Right.
300.
It's larger than 805.
You can tell he's a
math.
1,000? Yeah. 1,000, give or take. It's 980 acres of Belle Isle. That's a big old island. That's all I got to say. And it's not the biggest. Yeah, I think they are doing a grand.
Yeah,
yes.
I saw the signs.
Yeah.
On the
June 3rd.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Who designed Belle Isle Park?
Same person.
Frederick Law Olmsted.
Olmsted, right. Who designed Central Park.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the Biltmore Mansion.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's time to say goodbye, Professor Finkenbein.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Manica.
Adios.
Professor Hokett.
Hey, have a good Friday.
Professor Tubbs.
Hi, matey.
Professor Roach.
Happy sailing, everyone.
Professor Chow.
Don't eat any bad clams.
Sure. Professor Holch.
Ahoy, mateys.
And now, these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor. Today's edition of Ask the Professor was recorded at the Bayview Yacht Club in Detroit, Michigan. Our on-site engineers were David Crawford and Brian Bolesky. Our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you back next week for the second half of this special end-of-season program from the Bayview Yacht Club.